Unlock your Bible. Discover the true meaning of life. Learn the cause of world problems and the astounding solution. Prove for yourself what the future holds. In the Trumpet Literature Library, you will find answers to life's most important questions. Explore these vital titles on Trumpet Bookshelf.
Welcome to Trumpet Bookshelf. I'm Grant Turgeon. We are recording this show one day in advance because the day that this plays on the air, July 3rd, of itself might not have a whole lot of significance, but it is the day that we are celebrating July 4th, America's Independence Day. So just to have tomorrow off, to give the producers a day off too, we are recording this show in advance. And so much has happened in God's work. Even since the last time I was on the radio on Monday, I had the privilege and blessing to travel up to Branson, Missouri for a doubleheader performance of the music and dance production Celtic Throne. And yesterday morning, Wednesday morning, when I was watching that second Celtic Throne performance, I was just thinking about how powerful that an experience like that would be for these young people. An average age of about 15 years old for the dancers. And of course, there's plenty of dancers and performers in that show much younger than 15. And when a young person has to step up into high pressure situations like that, how would he or she deal with the stress? Oftentimes, this is a great way for God's young people to learn about prayer, how to have a strong relationship with their Creator, how to take their problems, their concerns, their questions, their desires to their Father. And so I was just watching Celtic Throne and just thinking about how blessed those young people are to have an experience like that and to learn how to trust in God more for all of these details. There's so many of these young people. Imagine if you were Jude Fleury and you were the male lead of a dance show like that at just 18 years old. Many of us will never experience anything like that, the pressure that goes along with that to perform at a really high level as everyone stares at you for a couple of hours. You've got people like Ezekiel and Sky Malone who are performing in the live band during the Celtic Throne production, and they are featured in solo acts at different points. And we're just talking about teenagers, unbaptized young people in these scenarios with a lot of responsibility on their shoulders. So like I said, this is always an excellent opportunity for these young people to turn to God, to put the pressure off themselves and onto God. Today we're going to talk a little bit about, maybe you could say, a beginner technique for establishing this good habit of prayer. But of course, this is a type of prayer structure that can benefit us our entire lives, not just when we're young. This is actually Jesus Christ himself giving his own disciples advice, giving them an outline for how to pray. His disciples were asking him, they wanted to know, how can we best make contact with our Father? And Christ, of course, being a willing teacher, a wise teacher, gave them the answer. Matthew 6, in verse 5 says, "And when you pray, you shall not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." Christ there ending somewhat ominously, talking about people who publicly make a show of their righteousness, praying publicly, trying to do righteous deeds just for the sake of being noticed by others. Christ said they have their reward. It's not the type of reward that they would probably want. It's also interesting talking about these hypocrites praying in the streets. Actually, in Branson, on this Celtic Throne trip, the dancers were dancing in the streets. But of course, that's a very different type of display. That is not an arrogant display in any way. There are certain things you should do in public to bring glory to God and not to bring glory to yourself, which is what these hypocrites praying in the streets were doing. So Christ is telling his disciples here, and by extension, all of us who want to learn from the Bible how exactly to pray in secret, as he continues here, Matthew 6 and verse 6. But you, when you pray, there he says it again, when you pray, this is supposed to become an automatic habit, something where we wake up and we just start praying right away. Or maybe we shower or do some jumping jacks, whatever we have to do to wake up, and then we start to pray as soon as we are alert. But it is immediate. Hopefully at some point it just gets to the point where we don't even have to think about it anymore. We just are automatic in prayer. That can be first thing in the morning, doing the bulk of the prayer in the morning. And then throughout the day, the middle of the day, before going to bed, just making this a constant in our lives. But Christ says here again, Matthew 6, verse 6, when you pray, enter into your closet, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father which is in secret, and your Father which sees in secret shall reward you openly. Actually, I think I might have mentioned this last week. The late educator and theologian Herbert W. Armstrong had a prayer room in his house, and this prayer room was completely soundproof. No one could distract him while he prayed in this basically soundproof closet in his house. But he wasn't trying to be noticed by other people. Mr. Armstrong wanted to have his total focus on God, knowing that God can obviously see through walls and see through the ceiling and still hear him. And that's the only thing that matters, is that God can hear us. We should only care about impressing God when we pray, not other people, of course. And God, who sees in secret, as it says here, and as God who hears in secret, he will reward us openly. Plenty of people will see the results of our prayers, because God will start to answer our prayers and bless us. We don't have to show people that we're praying by praying in front of them, because people will see the fruits in our lives. Not that it even matters if they see that, but they will see that. Matthew 6, verse 7, again, Christ says, but when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Vain repetitions. Does that sound familiar when you look around at plenty of religious people today? Just repeating the exact same phrases over and over again, maybe 10 times, maybe 20 times, or 100 times, depending on how bad your conscience might be afflicted. Plenty of people pray that way. And yet, Christ is telling us that will not even get us any results. Vain repetitions. Why would God care about that if he knows word for word exactly what we are going to say before we even say it? That kind of would lose a lot of its interest, and it wouldn't be heartfelt, obviously. We wouldn't truly deeply mean what we're saying if we just repeat it all the time. And then Christ says here, Matthew 6 and verse 8, be not you therefore like unto them, for your Father knows what things you have need of before you ask him. So God does know what we need, but he still wants us to ask. However, he just doesn't want us to be too predictable in the exact word-for-word repetition of what we're asking for. And then finally, Matthew 6, verse 9. So Christ is leading up to this prayer outline, talking about the type of attitude we need in prayer, talking about not trying to put on a public show of arrogance and vanity and self-glorification when we pray, and making sure that our prayers do have variety, that they are interesting by way of just not being repetitive. And Christ also points out that God still wants us to ask, even though God already knows what we want and what we need. Now Christ is getting into this prayer outline. Matthew 6, verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray you. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. So we start out addressing God the Father. He's the one we're praying to. And he wants us not just to say his name, but to hallow it or to deeply revere it. To have this deep love and closeness to him. We have a book available to you for free at thetrumpet.com, and it is titled How to Pray. And we've been referring to that here and there the last few weeks. But this book references a quote from Mr. Armstrong from The Plain Truth of August 1967. Mr. Armstrong said here, "Nearly always I do begin a prayer with exaltation of God, which brings to my mind how great, how wonderful is the Almighty One to whom I am speaking. So immediately I broke off the thanksgiving and the gratitude temporarily to praise and exalt and extol the Supreme Creator God. Yet I just naturally continued my giving thanks, now thanking God for Himself and realizing how grateful I am that God is, that there is the great God, that He is the living God." The How to Pray book expounds on that quote, saying, "Praise God for His greatness, His supreme power and might. Praise Him for creating and designing the vast, awesome universe and for giving man the incredible potential to rule it with Him. Praise Him for being such a loving and all-merciful Father. Praise and thank Him for His active participation in your life. Let Him know that you appreciate and love Him." So, as I often mention, it is valuable to think about the subjects we talk about here with some common sense. Think about it practically. Think about any person you want to ask a favor of, anyone you want to pour out your heart to. Wouldn't you want to tell that person how grateful you are just for that person listening to you and being willing to help you? Don't you want to show your gratitude as much as you possibly can? This is, of course, true of God, too. Religion is practical. Prayer is practical. God is alive and He made us like Him in many ways. And just like we sometimes want to hear gratitude, so does He. And so that is really an ideal way to regularly begin our prayers. Again, not through vain repetition, repeating the same exact praises and gratitude every time. But in general, starting out a prayer this way, just so that God knows that you value your relationship with Him. Matthew 6, verse 10 shows us the next part. Your kingdom come, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. This is such a crucial part of the prayer outline and something that we really should pray about regularly. And I can speak from personal experience, and I'm sure a lot of you listeners can too, that following this prayer outline, especially if you haven't had it right in front of you while praying for a long time, really does help a lot. Just having it right there and reading from it while you pray, it does give you more focus. It does give you a better structure, and you can really expound on each point within this framework, and it gives you a lot more to say. It is important to realize here that God's kingdom is a literal government soon to be set up over all the earth. It is not some ethereal feeling or something set up in our hearts. It is going to be a real world-ruling kingdom. And every day when we witness what is going on in the world, we should be more urgent in asking God for his kingdom to come back as soon as possible. Things just keep getting worse and worse. And just when you think they can't get any worse, somehow they do the very next day. It's really unbelievable. You look around and see how divided America is right now, how this nation is destroying its own history, how this nation is developing bitter hatred between citizens just for having different opinions from each other. And it's to the point where they really do want to go to war against each other. And as Christ himself said, a house divided against itself cannot stand. What do you think when you see a nation as irreparably divided as America is right now? It's not just America either. Of course, that's where I live, but obviously any of you living in different nations will be thinking a lot about where you live too and all the problems that you see going on. Don't you see more and more how human beings have failed in their attempts to govern themselves? They've been proving this for 6,000 years. And we have to yearn for God's kingdom to replace all kingdoms of men. We have to yearn for God to restore all things over the entire earth, as Acts chapter 3 talks about. This is actually the most important goal in God's mind, restoring his government to the planet. And he wants to use those who are doing his work today before Jesus Christ returns as his rulers, his co-rulers in this government, under him, of course. But this is something that we need to pray about. As Satan strangles human beings, ensnares them in sins that they cannot break free from. People need hope. They need vision. They need a better purpose for being alive. And only God's kingdom can give that to them in the near future. You see there, this same verse is also talking about thy will be done. That's another important part of the prayer outline. Talking about thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And of course, that is specifically talking about God's one true church, the Philadelphia Church of God, and the way that God directs things through his church. That's the only way. We're the only place right now where God's will is done as we follow the lead of Jesus Christ. And very soon, the whole rest of the world will get to follow that example. But right now, God's church has to carry out God's will of delivering a powerful message of warning and of hope to the entire world. That is also an extremely important part of the prayer outline. That God leads his work and that this work does move forward and have great success in bearing witness to as many people as will be interested in hearing anything about the truth. another part of this prayer outline. You can get a lot more details about this at thetrumpet.com in this free book, How to Pray. But the next part here says, Matthew 6, verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. Verse 12, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Verse 13, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So you see there, finally, after you've been praying for a while, praising and being grateful toward God, praying about his kingdom returning to earth very soon, praying about God's work, eventually your prayers will turn to yourself, and particularly to other people before yourself. But that just shows you generally the priority of prayer, how we want to put God first, even in what we're praying about, and then pray about the work and other people even before we pray about ourselves. It can be so easy to get wrapped up in what we want and just start praying about that right away. We need to pray about God providing all that we need and all that we want, as long as those things are going to help us build character. But at the same time, those things should not usually come first in our prayers, unless it's maybe just an emergency situation. We can't be putting ourselves first in prayer, or else that will make God probably a little bit less likely to answer. Confessing sins, that's part of this too. God forgiving us, but of course we also have to be willing to forgive other people if they repent of doing wrong toward us. We have to confess our sins to God. We have to cry out for forgiveness for those. We have to pledge that we will strive not to fall into those same traps again. We have to pray for deliverance, as it talks about there, saying, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You see, God has the power to remove our sins from us as far as east is from west. And he also has the power to overcome Satan for us, to fight our battles for us, every time we submit our human will totally to him. So this prayer outline, as it started with praise and adoration for God, also ends that way. We loop around, we come full circle, and we praise God yet again. And we glorify all of his offices of authority, his detailed, intricate role in our lives and in the work, and in watching over all mankind so that he can give them the best chance possible to obey him when their time comes to know him in the future. So like I said, this is really a helpful prayer outline there in Matthew 6. And not just for young people, people who might just be developing this habit, but really for everyone, especially if you pull it out from time to time and use it to guide you through prayers. God really does have a way of adding certain challenges to our lives so that we feel compelled to turn to him. Like I said, Celtic Throne, with these young people taking on all of that responsibility and facing up to all that pressure, that's a great time for them to really be turning to God in prayer. But we all have situations like that. We might not personally be in Celtic Throne, and yet we all have these opportunities where the pressure is on. And the reason God does that is because naturally we don't go cry out to him and really make the most of prayer without these challenges popping up from time to time. So that's just one thing to be thankful for. When these challenges arise, they do make our prayers that much stronger. So if you want to learn more about this prayer outline, I would definitely suggest studying chapter 4 of the prayer booklet, the How to Pray book, A Framework for Prayer. Thanks so much for listening today. I'm Grant Turgeon. This has been Trumpet Bookshelf.
You've been listening to Trumpet Bookshelf. Please email your thoughts to comments at kpcg.fm. Listen for new episodes every Friday at 10 a.m. Central Time.